Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Dr. Art Diamond is here, too. Art has become a great member of our Brain Trust. He's a professor of economics at University of Nebraska, Omaha. He's the author of the awesome book, Openness to Creative Destruction, Sustaining Innovative Dynamism. He's a student of Friedrich Hayek, which makes him okay in my book. And he's our good friend. Art, welcome back.
It's always good to talk to you, Jim.
It's good to have you back on the show, Art. One of the things, what we're going to talk about today is your perspectives on a Nobel-winning perspective that Friedrich Hayek had on how to organize life, right? How to get things organized, whether it should be centralized or decentralized. Should it be central planning? Should it be decentral planning? And you've got some thoughts on that as well as how that applies to a lot of things in our lives today, don't you?
I do. 2020 was a year a lot of us want to forget, but one of the good things about it is that it was an anniversary of a very important paper that Hayek wrote called The Use of Knowledge in Society, and it makes a
Can I stop you? Let me stop you for a second, Art. Remind everybody who Friedrich Hayek was. I mean, you and I, sometimes we say his name and we think everybody knows, but a lot of people probably don't know who he was, in addition to being a Nobel laureate. Go ahead.
Well, he was, his early work was mainly in macroeconomics, and he was at the University of London for quite a while, and then he's mainly known, I think, now as for what he did during the years at the University of Chicago, where he wrote more on political philosophy. Mm-hmm. And he's one of the neo-Austrians who tend to be favorable to free markets and emphasize entrepreneurship and emphasize economic history as opposed to formal mathematical theory in doing economics. And he wrote a book called The Road to Serfdom that was probably what he's best known for shortly after World War II, where he said that the growth of socialism was going to also endanger democracy and freedom in a political sense.
Wow.
And the way that my professor Rogge used to summarize it is to say that it's hard for the government to maintain free speech when they own the press. They're going to be tempted when things get printed to criticize them to suppress those. And you can see that happening, for instance, in China with Hong Kong right now.
Or in the United States.
That famous book, The Road to Serfdom. But I'm talking about this other paper, which I think in some ways is even more important.
Go ahead. So that's a good... Folks,
yeah. No, that's
Hayek is very important as a historical figure in support of things that small businesses out on Main Street hold dear, Art. Even if they don't know who he is, he was one of their great defenders. Don't you agree with that?
Yes, and especially the paper that I'm highlighting, The Use of Knowledge in Society, because what it emphasizes is that we may praise and honor and be in awe of theoretical knowledge, but sometimes the kind of knowledge that matters most is specific local knowledge. And he emphasized in his paper that knowledge is held dispersed by people, enormous number of people, in enormous number of situations. And there's no planner, no matter how brilliant, no matter how decent, who can have and be in control of that kind of information. But the market system, using prices, the entrepreneurs can take their local information, what they know about their production processes and their locality and their situation, combine that with the information that's being communicated by the price system, and make the right decisions for the economy. Even though there's nobody, no one person anywhere, no one government agency planning it, it turns out it seems almost like a miracle sometimes, the way that that these decisions get organized in a spontaneous order for the greater good.
Well, isn't the United States a collection of 50 incubators that aggregate into one into one overarching government. Isn't that one of the great miracles of humanity? That what the founders did to create that. Isn't that what's the strength of America? What you just described basically the concept of America, didn't you?
Well, I think that you could take the analogy of what he said in the market and apply it to governments and say that if it's better to have decentralized decision-making in the market, then maybe it's also better when it can be done to have decentralized decision-making in governments.
Yeah.
And that's what they've done, for instance, with the vaccine rollouts. They're allowing individual states to make some of the decisions about how to distribute, and some states are doing a better job than other states.
Just like they allowed states to decide about lockdowns, about how to manage to control their own population, the health of their population.
That's right.
Which I think is a good idea. I did not think. So do you think Hayek would have agreed with President Trump's decision not to put the heavy hand of the federal government on this?
I suspect so. He did believe the government had some role. Some of the people who are the descendants of Hayek intellectually have gone so far as to be anarchists. Hayek was not one of them. He did believe there should be a safety net, and he did believe that there were times when the government needed to act.
Right.
But whenever possible, I mean, a lockdown is a very blunt instrument.
Yeah.
I think that it might, in some circumstances, reduce transmission of disease, and there might be circumstances where there's no other action that's possible, but I think you try everything else before you get to the point because it
is not without cost, is it?
It's huge cost, and it also violates freedom, and that has to be taken into account,
too. That's right. That's exactly right. And it frightens people. I really worry about all that. But back to Hayek. I've got less than a minute, about 30 seconds. Last thoughts on where you think he would be. What would he do now? And we'll talk about it some more in a minute. What would he do now, do you think, about going forward in 2021 with the coronavirus pandemic response?
Well, I think what the most fundamental thing he emphasized is let's not be more certain than we actually are. I think he would tell government agencies, be honest with people. Don't say masks don't work when you think they really do.
Right.
Don't say that you get herd immunity with 50% when you really think it's 80%. Mm-hmm. Be honest about what you know and how certain you are of it, and then let people act based on the best information you have.
The wisdom of Nobel laureate Friedrich Hayek through the wise interpretation of Dr. Art Diamond. We're going to come right back and talk some more about this after the break. 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. We'll be right back. By the way, Art's book is called Openness to Creative Destruction, Sustaining Innovation, Dynamism.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.